One of my favorite Peanuts cartoons is Lucy and Charlie Brown talking to each other, and Lucy says, "I hate everything. I hate everybody, and I hate the whole wide world." And Charlie Brown looks at Lucy and says, "But Lucy, I thought that you said you had inner peace." And Lucy responds, "I do have inner peace, but I also have outer obnoxiousness." I don't know why I like that so much. I think that I can relate to it, because there are many times when I feel that I have inner peace, and there are many times when others tell me, "No, you just have outer obnoxiousness." So this is the challenge that we have, right? We're always working with these two things. The story today is a little bit like that. There's both inner peace in it, and there's a little bit of outer obnoxiousness. It's a story about Mary and Martha. They are two sisters. They are good friends of Jesus. And he comes by their house to stay. And perhaps he has some of his disciples with him, but they're very, very happy to see him. They're delighted that he's there. It's probably a bit of a respite for him. And they bring him inside, and Mary just sits right down at his feet and can't wait to hear all of his stories and everything he has to say. And Martha does what many of us would do. She goes out to think, "Well, how am I going to feed everybody here that's just suddenly arrived at my house?" And she begins to make preparations to feed people and see what's available to serve everyone. I suspect that Martha probably started out with kind of a simple idea of what she would feed, maybe make a nice stew or some bulgur or something like that, some vegetables. But then start thinking, "Well, that's probably not enough for Jesus. Maybe I'll do this as well, and maybe I'll do that too." And pretty soon she's kind of over her head and can't get everything done. And that's when the problem starts, right? Because she starts to feel a little bit resentful because she needs some help. And where is the obvious person to help her? Mary, sitting in the living room, just hanging out with Jesus, right? So she begins to feel a little bit of resentment about that. But she does do something about it. She goes right out, and she says to Jesus, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left all the work for me to do by myself?" Like, in other words, "Jesus, why aren't you doing something about this?" And then she gives an order to Jesus, "Tell her to help me." And this is what happens when we start to get resentful. Things get out of control, and so we try to get control back. And you would think that she would go to Mary and talk to her, but that's probably not going to work. So she goes to a higher power, Jesus, and starts telling him what to do. She's taking control, right? We want control, we're resentful, we want to fix the things, so we start telling people what to do. The problem is not that Martha doesn't want to serve Jesus. She does. The problem is what's happening inside of her as she does that. She's getting distracted. She's over her head. She's gotten too many things going on. She's resentful. She's anxious. She's worried. And that is what Jesus addresses with her. Jesus is not upset that she's fixing food or serving her. He's not upset. He's not angry at her. He simply says, "Martha, you are distracted and worried about many things." And this is something Jesus could probably say to all of us at different times. You are distracted and worried about many things. We know that Jesus does not like us to worry. We have another passage in the scriptures where he himself gives a very clear command. Do not worry. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. Look at the birds in the air. Look at the flowers of the fields. God takes care of them. God will take care of you. Do not worry. So here he is again saying to Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. And we are. We are worried and distracted by many things. When we get worried and distracted, we get stressed out about things, and there are a lot of statistics about stress. One comes from the Harvard Business Review. It says that the percentage of medical office visits made for stress-related symptoms is 75%. So 3 out of 4 reasons that we go to a doctor has to do with the stress in our lives. Another statistic I thought was really interesting is that the annual cost in the U.S. of running red lights in medical bills and car repair bills is $7 billion a year. Just think for a moment, if we slowed down enough not to run red lights, what we could do with $7 billion. So stress is a problem, and we can identify with Martha. We can also identify with how resentments can build up in our lives. You may remember the story from your childhood about the little red hen. Remember the little red hen? She decided, wouldn't it be nice if we had some nice bread to eat today? And so she talks to the pig and the horse and the cow, says, would you like some nice bread? And they say, yeah, we would love that. So she said, well, who will help me plant the wheat? Oh, not me, not me, not me. Well, who will help me harvest it? Oh, not me, not me, not me. Who will help me bake the bread? Oh, not I, says the cow, not I, says the pig, not I, says the horse. So she does all of this stuff by herself, and she puts the bread in the oven, and it comes out, and it's a beautiful golden loaf of bread. And she says, who will help me eat the bread? And they all say, I will. And she says, You didn't help me. Therefore, I'm going to eat this whole loaf of bread by myself. Payback time, right? Resentments have been building, and now you're going to get it. And now I'm going to pay you back. So when we let those resentments build up, we really turn into outer obnoxiousness. We become exactly what we don't want to be. Jesus does want us to serve one another, but he also wants us to be aware of what's happening inside of us. Are we serving with joy? Are we doing it with love? Or are we keeping track of the things we do and the things that somebody else is doing? When we get too resentful and we become controlling, we begin to tell other people what to do. But there's a deeper level of resentment going on in this story. There's a social norms resentment that's happening. Because Martha is well aware of what Mary should be doing. Mary's a Palestinian woman, a Jewish woman in the first century. And as a woman, she should not be sitting at Jesus' feet. Her role should be with Martha, getting the food ready. And so what the heck is she doing in there, sitting with Jesus? And this is also a source of resentment for us. We become resentful of people who don't stay in their right place, who don't do what they're supposed to do. Reverend Meyer and I have both, where'd you go? Oh, there you are. You're gone. We've both experienced that in becoming women priests because we're not supposed to do that. So we had to deal with people who were angry about that. We just had in the news four congresswomen, the squad, who were told to go back where they came from. And why? Because they stepped out of the role they're supposed to have. They're too new. They're too white. They're too not white. And they're too female to be saying things to the President of the United States. So the response was, go back to where you came from. We have migrants at our border wanting to come into our country and literally cross a boundary that we've set. And we really are happy to have those people if they don't cross our boundary. But once they cross, we don't want them anymore. We have a gay man this year running for president, Pete Buttigieg. I don't know if I pronounced that right. Buttigieg, thank you. Again, crossing a boundary, right? We have dads who are stay-at-home dads, black women who are CEOs, all crossing social boundaries. And when they do that, some people build resentments. So this story is more than just about Martha's personal resentment. It's also about the resentment she's feeling at somebody crossing a social norm. So how does Jesus respond to this? It's very loving to Martha. But he also says to her, Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken away from her. She has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken away from her. So really, here is the heart of the scripture. What is the better part that Mary has chosen? What is the better part? I'm so happy to come in this morning and see Danielle and Phil Coleman with their baby, Peter. Peter's a very, very special baby. He arrived on the scene early, right, at just 25 weeks. And so he spent many months in the NICU at Strong Hospital. And I had the privilege of visiting this family over that period of time. And when you have a child in the NICU, you do a lot of sitting all day long. You comfort your baby, you're there with your baby, you go through lots of different procedures, but day after day after day, I watched these two parents with their first child sit quietly and wait patiently. In that gift of love that they gave to Peter, there was also a gift that they received, a gift of incredible faith, a gift of deep love from the people that surrounded them, a gift that made them appreciate more than ever the power of this child that had come into their lives. Too often, we look for that depth in the busyness that we apply ourselves to. We think that if we just get more things done, we'll be filled up. We spend more time doing things that will fill up the emptiness that we feel. But Jesus is telling us something different. He's telling us to stop, to sit, to listen and be in his presence, just like they were in the presence of Peter. Jesus is saying, let me be the one that you're in the presence of. He calls us back to look for the source of all love and creation, to fill us up with him in God's presence. Thich Nhat Hanh, the Buddhist monk, I know I've told you this before, but I just love this story, so I'm going to tell it again. He gives us a suggestion for how to do this. He says, in your home, in one room, place a bell. And when you feel yourself getting stressed or crabby or have that outer obnoxiousness, go into the room, sit down, and ring the bell, and let it call to mind God's presence. And this will really help you spiritually. And it will be an enormous relief to everybody else who lives in the house with you. They will be so happy to hear that bell. We all understand being busy. We all know what it is to have too many things on our plate. But let's just think for a moment about what would be the most powerful thing in our life that we could do today. And what would be the greatest example that we could set for our children, our grandchildren, our spouses, our employees? Would it be to run home today after Mass and try to accomplish 15 things today before we go to bed? Or perhaps might it be to sit quietly in prayer for 20 minutes and listen for God's guidance? Perhaps that's what Jesus is telling us today.